darkest night. Let your love come over us. Lord, let your grace from your hand fall on us. Lord, let your grace from your hand fall on us, that we may be saved, that we may have light to find our way in the darkest night.
God, we thank you that we can be here together this morning. We just pray your presence, your strength to flow as we worship you this morning. God, your goodness is here today as ever. And God, you're a faithful God. We can trust you, and thank you that your mercy is new today in Jesus' name. Amen.
The cross of Calvary, I can never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough.
For many years I served the Lord the best that I knew, giving unto him my time and telling of his power. But if I were to spend unending hours on my knees, praising him for everything he's ever done for me,
I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough.
A thousand tongues could not express just what the Lord has done. As if he hadn't done enough, he gave his own
cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation full and free. I could never do anything to deserve such perfect love. Oh, for everything he's done, I could never praise him enough. I could never praise him enough for the cross of Calvary. I could never thank him enough for salvation for. never praise him enough.
Oh, for
everything he's done, I can never praise him enough.
Well, yeah, it's good to be here this morning. God is amazing how he blesses us through a busy weekend like this, and just a tremendous amount of support we've seen out at the auction there the last couple of days. I'm always amazed to see how God works in a community like this. I don't see it anywhere else, the strength of that, just the power of everyone kicking in a little bit, and just, it's amazing. It's amazing. We'd love to see more of that happening everywhere else as well. A quick introduction. My name is Jake Penner, born and raised in Belize, Central America. Came to Canada when I was 23, got married to a beautiful young lady, and her name is Margie. And we've been celebrating, we're actually celebrating this week, 27 years. And God has blessed us. We have five children. We have Julia. She is a tremendous strength in the ministry, helping with scheduling and just the interest she has in ministering to younger girls, and has a lot of friends that keep contacting her and so on for support and strength. Praise the Lord for the work that he is doing through her. We have Stephanie. She actually lives here in Honeybrook, which is close by. Stephanie is our second daughter, married to Josh Stoltzfus, and they have a little girl. We have one grandchild since a year and a half or so ago. So we love to come this way. It's 30 hours from where we live. Arbrick, Manitoba is a long ways. After Stephanie, we have Tanya. And she just came back from discipleship training at Ellerslie in Colorado. So we were without her for a while, and it all works either way. The Lord is good, and we thank God for what he is doing in her life as well. She loves to play violin. She's going to do a bit of that after. And she is, at this point, our lead singer. Then we have Tyrell. Actually, we lost one baby girl between Stephanie and Tanya. And so four girls. Finally, we had a boy, and I was excited. We all were excited. And I'm still excited for what God is doing in his life. Growing up to, he enjoys wrestling with daddy at times. He likes to play guitar, and he really likes Legos. He is a friend of designing and stuff. He likes to do all that kind of stuff. Then you have Lanita. She is our baby girl, and not that, she doesn't like to be called baby anymore. 11 years, I call her our butterfly in the home, just the freedom, just the one that is the first to come to daddy and give me a hug and just say, daddy, I love you. And children are a great gift from God. We enjoy this, what we can do through Gospel Express since 2010 when we started. It's been a growing experience. It still is like, wow, there's so much more to learn and just to absorb and understand. What does God have for us in this world as he gives time? And we're going to let the children sing a song called, there's a scripture talk. All right, we'll do that first. There you go.
Wherefore, God also resurrected him and gave
the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 2 through 11.
Refreshing water, showers come from you. Here's a vessel you can use. I want to rain and shine both at the same time, a blessing and a beacon that you provide to the fertile fields, barren plains. Lord, I'll go in your name, rake or plow. Show me how to plant the seeds and pull the weeds with your living water and the light divine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Someone may be watching, lost and alone tonight. If one little candle can light the way, I'd like to be the flame. With your love to keep my heart aglow, I can give a ray of hope. I want to rain and shine both at the same time, a blessing and a beacon that you provide to the fertile fields, barren plains. Lord, I'll go in your name, break or plow. Show me how to plant the seeds and pull the weeds with your living water and the light divine, I'll rain and shine. With the living water and the light divine, I want to rain
Hey, that worm turning into a butterfly to me is like, it's only God that can do that. And to me, it's when I was born again, Jesus changed me from a worm into a butterfly. I'm not interested in this world, in this dirty things of this world, but there's a new life that desires more of God. And it's like a butterfly, it's just something different than a worm. It flies to flowers and beautiful, sweet aroma rather than feeding off of the nasty things on the ground the way it did as a worm. And let us be, when Jesus has come into our life, to truly enjoy that freedom and keep our eyes focused on Him, that our hunger keeps being at the healthy things of our life. I have a song here called, Where is God? Where is He? When we're in trouble or when we can't feel Him necessarily, maybe we're just kind of dry and bored, or maybe we're going through a hard time in life, but where is God at that time? The song says He is everywhere we go and everything we experience. That's why we have the opportunity to connect with God, and so the power of what Jesus brought into this world is tremendous. He went through things that we don't have to go through, but I choose to be willing to go through sacrificially whatever the Lord has for me, because He has left me an example to follow.
To be home.
Show a bit of Gospel Express in general, DVD that has been put together just so we can see the work that God is doing through that ministry. Again, there are so many different ones, and praise the Lord for that. But yeah, let's see what this will be. We'll see people that are troubled. We're going to see how God heals people, and that is the amazing thing. I love to see. I love to be involved where I see people being connected with God. Just the healing that can happen in this dark world. Let's see what this will be.
Out of all the days, years, time periods, and locations in our history, God chose to place us here, now, today, in America. A nation in the midst of economic and moral crisis, over $16 trillion in debt and counting, whose greatest sin is greed, where government is redefining the biblical principle of marriage and homosexual lifestyles have become common and accepted. Where we kill 1.2 million unborn babies each year, where pornography brings in annual revenue of over $13 billion each year, where one in every 32 of us are in prison or on parole, a nation that has forsaken its foundation, America, where the freedom to speak the truths of God's word is being challenged, where the church is moving ever closer to the world, a nation in danger of God's wrath and judgment. What America needs is not a new budget, or a new healthcare system, or new legislators. America needs a people on their knees, crying out to God, washing the ground with tears, repenting. We, the church, are those people. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Before we invite the rest of America to repentance, we must first repent of idolatry, worshiping the created above the Creator, of loving our lattes more than our neighbor, of indulging ourselves in fellowship while an inmate cries in loneliness, of praying in the church house but not praying in our closet. Through our repentance, we will be revived, and our vision for a lost and dying world will be rekindled. Our eyes will be reopened to see our nation and our world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Yes, you and I have the opportunity to make a difference in our nation and in our world today by obeying Christ's commands and surrendering our lives to Him. Kingdom building ministry begins at home. Where we live, where we work, and whatever we do, we should do that the life of Christ may be seen in our actions, felt in our hands, and heard in our voices.
Some of the folks that came to be a part of our life here, they sang, one of the men was saying that they sang like angels, and that itself is a powerful symbol of what God can do to restore and to make whole and to keep intact what the enemy is trying to destroy.
God is also looking for reapers who will heed the call and enter the fields that are ripe unto harvest. In fact, every Christian outreach, every church, every mission, every ministry is an extension of the vision and the wisdom of God. These are all God's enterprises, carried out in obedience to the will of God and the commands of Christ. Here at Gospel Express, God has given many families and individuals the opportunity to exercise their talents and spiritual gifts through the various avenues of ministry, both stateside and international. For some, it means behind-the-scenes duties at the ministry headquarters in North Carolina, where volunteer personnel and long-term staff work together to serve those in public ministry. Each year, thousands of Bible study courses are being graded by a nationwide network of dedicated workers who spend countless hours helping prisoners understand the scriptures.
We have 75 inmates who in this last calendar year took the Romans course, and they heard the message of God that is so clear on how we are to live our lives as followers of Jesus.
For some of them, that's the first time they've ever sat down and actually accomplished from start to finish an actual course of study. And this really is the beginning of them of a lifelong journey towards learning to love the Scriptures.
Singing remains a key avenue of ministry, with family teens sharing the gospel in prisons and churches across the U.S. and Canada.
Angels in the room, take him to his great reward.
In recent years, the Dave Miller family has been utilizing their talents to communicate biblical truths through family-style drama presentations.
All right, everyone assemble. Court in session. Unless there are any defending witnesses, we will give the verdict.
Aye, sir.
Son, you want to defend this here young beggar?
We're sorry how we teased you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, I forgive you. You did kind of hurt my feelings.
Thanks, guys.
For the past 15 years, multi-prison crusades have been conducted by music teams, evangelists, and hundreds of volunteer workers in a 3-day evangelistic campaign, ministering in up to 22 different prisons all at the same time.
The different facets of this crusade are amazing, whether it be just eating the same food that an inmate eats from day to day. Being in their area speaks a lot. Being out on the compound with them, just interacting on a less structured environment.
And they came into our dorms and they fellowshipped with us there and they prayed with us in our dorms and they felt comfortable there with us. They weren't afraid and they really made us feel comfortable with them.
Anytime a family can come in and minister, it just touches the hearts of the women because most of them are mothers and they appreciate seeing children in ministry.
Follow-up to the crusade includes Bondage to Freedom and Anger Resolution seminars, along with other discipleship resources that will help prisoners become transformed and useful vessels in the hands of God. Evangelistic giftings are also utilized through church revival meetings and community tent crusades throughout the U.S. and Canada. Prison ministry has also become a vital part of the international ministry to Kenya and Uganda, Africa. Prison authorities have given Gospel Express an open door to all the 222 prisons in the country of Uganda. Meeting physical needs through the village medical clinics allows Muslims, atheists, and unreached people groups to hear the gospel message, and many believe and pray to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The ministry also facilitates child sponsorship and construction projects at several primitive orphanage schools in Uganda. God wants to pour His Spirit into our thirsty souls to make us broken bread and spiritual nourishment unto the least of these. Let us be thirsty. Let us be broken. Let us be sent to America and to the world. Let us be spent for the glory of our God.
People are crying, the children are dying, who don't even know. We're killing by millions, brothers and sisters, our hearts are so cold. While Christians are sitting, talking about heaven, and when will they go? The world and its people move faster and deeper to a living death below.
If we don't believe, how will they know? How will they hear if we never go? Oh Lord, send us to the world. If we don't believe,
Lord, send us to the world. I think we have that calling. We see that all over, and we see the need. I'm just going to share a little bit of our path. We have, as I said before, living in Arbroath, Manitoba is quite remote compared to your area here. Again, there's prisons there too. Normally, the days we're not traveling as a family, I'd be doing the Bondage to Freedom seminars around the home provinces, Manitoba, Saskatchewan. Alberta. Now, it takes a pressing in just to do what the Lord opens up, or just to trust that He will open up more, because so often there's a cloud of darkness and it's like you try this or you try that, you don't know, is this worth pursuing? And it's in one way the door is so wide open around the world in different places. And where do you want me to go? What is my calling to do? And that's my cry quite often is, God, just direct my path and just give me direction for what you want to do through me. And I don't know how it is with all of you, but to us that's it's been a growing process. And without the encouragement of people like Nelson Koblenz or Dave Miller, some of the others that have been out there pressing in for many years, and the faith and the trust and just how they can encourage and say, hey, it's possible by the name of God, through God's grace. Hey, if the Spirit is there, God will move, even though we're not like professionals or have the background of a lot of this. But I guess, see, our culture background has not had a lot of this outreach spiritually, more like relief and so on. We enjoy what God is doing through our life, even though many times it's not just fun. It's a challenge. It takes effort to make things work. And we see more and more chaplains open up in Canada as well. Our prayer would be that we someday could do a crusade like what's happening different places here in the U.S., where we could just gather a bunch of us and just reach into different prisons in the province. Again, Canada is very vast, a lot of miles, but not as many. It's not as populated, so we don't see like 28 prisons in one province. Kind of what we see some of the places here, like South Carolina. I think even here in PA, it's around that. And so traveling from Manitoba to here, like 30 hours, and going to the eastern provinces, which is, and I'm not pointing right, I'm probably wrong with my directions here a little bit, but it's miles and miles. And we had scheduled our Eastern Canada tour right after this, which we normally do. I've done it a couple of times before, a few other years, but it was like we had to realize financial needs need to be there as well. Or we basically, the board decided to cancel the eastern provinces because don't have many churches there to connect with. There's a number of prisons and chaplains that open up well, but it was like that door closed for us. So it was kind of a disappointment, get all the work done, getting it all scheduled, and then have to cancel it. But we try to search the Lord's direction. We thank Him that He's opened the doors, that we have a vehicle to travel, and that the doors open up across Canada that way in a long ways. But again, it's so much at the beginning stages compared to what we see here and in many ways. But we have a great board over there that supports and tries to open doors. So now we're going to go back to Ontario and pursue some more work there, more churches. And we have also a little auction coming up here in 2 weeks out in Ontario. So we're going to see how that does. We did a little bit of that before, previous years. The thing that we've seen God work through us too is crossing borders. Who all here has crossed borders? There's people there that's supposed to be there to watch what's happening, what's entering, and what is, and so on. And we've had challenges crossing borders. We've had a time where we had a lot of schedule here in the U.S., and the border said, no, you're not entering. Go back home. And that was a time of a test again, saying, hey, God, it's in your hands. We just want to do what you want us to do. But God, what is it that we should do different? And it's like sometimes it's very obvious. It's a spiritual warfare where just there's darkness, or there's some pride or something that just resists something like this to you know, they're people as well at the border, and they've been trained for good purposes. But where I'm getting at is, we've seen very clearly too where God just specifically put us there at the border among officers and people that come through there, where He wanted to do something, where He wanted to reach people. It was once entering into Canada, back into Canada, actually when we imported the bus that we were just traveling on. There was somebody there. Well, it's a long story. I'm not going to get into details too much, but it was very obvious, like God had brought somebody there that was in deep trouble, just crying. A lady just was in deep trouble of things. She couldn't face what she had to face to cross the border, and just had the opportunity to pray right there with her and in front of all the, you know, officers. And before that, it was like a trucker that I had met outside. Well, he said he found out what we were doing. And then in front of the officer, he said, "Hey, this guy here, he loves Jesus, and treat him well." I was like going through the floor. Like, why would you bring this up at a place like this? That could bring trouble, or that, like, why would this be, Lord? And they treated me so royally, took me in a police car to get they took me like as a taxi over to the bank to get whatever, the import documents and money and stuff done, and things. They just went way beyond what they should have. Another thing that happened was back when we came back from Mexico with Brother Nelson together, it's now almost 2 years ago, coming back into the U.S., the officers, they were touched again. What is this ministry all about? They saw what we had along on the bus and material, and just it looked, you know, it appeared that these people are here to stand up for righteousness. And these men, they were open. The officer was asking, "Hey, would you pray for us right here?" And the opportunity to pray to people and important people in this world that are there for the right purpose. And people around that came through there just were, "What is going on here?" Like, they were touched by what was happening. And Brother Nelson, just a powerful prayer for the officers there. And we could cross. Like, we have been able to cross since the first number of times. We are crossing so smoothly, so freely, little problems at borders, which I thank God. And I see that His hand is in it to open doors where Satan would like to close doors. And I bless the officers there. I just appreciate what they do because we want them to be there. And I don't know how often you experienced that, but in our background too, there is so much, as I grew up, the issues of crossing borders that we were just rejecting it. We were in fear, or we didn't want to respect them. Entering Mexico very often was paying basically, "Hey, if you could give a tip to the officer, then you could cross," and stuff like that, which wasn't truly righteousness either. But we do reach into our own background. People in Belize and Mexico, once we go to Belize 1 year, then the other year we go to Mexico. So Lord willing, this year we're going to go to Mexico again. And just a lot of need there, where people need healing, where they need understanding, where they need to know what is going on in our life. Who is God in us? What does Jesus offer? In many, many different ways. It's a lot of lack of education or understanding what Scripture actually tells them. And there's these what we call the old colony church is very much where they actually, the leaders would tell the church that they don't want them to read the Bible. To read the Bible is for the pastors at church, and just kind of, you know, reading a certain part, and most of the people can't understand it, and they're basically resisting things like truly seeking God through Scripture. And there's just that kind of darkness where you can picture yourself, where people go if they can't, if they're being told not to study and to learn. And again, there's a lot of people that have come out of that, and there's great churches as well. We can connect with well, and thank the Lord that is an open door at this point. We don't know what's going to happen with the way the world is going, and we see the end times draw near. We see that Satan is fighting, and he wants to close doors for Christ. And how are we going to face all this? I'm thinking of what Jesus, when he came into this world, how he was willing. What he did, first of all, when he was baptized in Matthew 3, verse 16, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and a lightning upon him. Just the power that came to Jesus. But he still felt the need to go out and to pray and to seek God. To me, that's a challenge for me tremendously. In the busy world we live in, to be willing to give our time and just to lay all our material things away and go and seek God. Pray. Go spend time alone and press in and seek God. And that's what Jesus did right there. He gave us an example to pursue, to go away. And he spent 40 days fasting and praying. And Satan came and tempted him. And he said no to Satan. You know, the discernment of understanding. Hey, what thoughts come from God or what are coming from Satan? And just to make that choice, that discernment that we will say no to Satan, whatever it is. And it can be good things that Satan comes up with, as he did to Jesus. Making stones into bread wasn't a bad thing to do. But because it was Satan, Jesus said no. You know, finally, he said, Satan, in verse 10, he says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. You know what happened then? Verse 11 says, then the devil left him. He was defeated. And it says, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Jesus. I think we all experienced that. If we stand up for God and we say no to Satan, and we serve him, we give ourselves sacrificially in whatever way it is, but we have certain amount of enjoyment of that angels from God come and minister unto us. I just want to encourage you, let's keep pursuing that in every way we can, because God is there to bless us and strengthen us, and that's what he did to Jesus. And he was there now to go. He was filled. He was empowered. He went into this world to heal people physically and spiritually. And he accomplished what needed to be accomplished through a Son of God. For us today, we aren't like Jesus. But again, if we have been born again of his Spirit, we have something that we are responsible for. And we have the strength through the grace of God to pursue him in every way. And I'm speaking to myself, how in the world, what ways do I, through my daily busy life, what is it that truly is pursuing God? How much of it is, a lot of the stuff is not that irrelevant that I keep my mind filled with, like all the material things, all our logistical parts of life and financial and all this kind of stuff. And a quick point of one of my testimonies, as I grew up, I became kind of angry with my dad that he didn't pursue that financial gain as what I thought that he should. My neighbor boys were... As a boy, you know, my friends were able to drive new tractors and farm more acres and things like that. Back in Belize, in the community I grew up, that meant a lot. Here happened something that I didn't realize for many years in my life, that this thing that came into me was not from God. And how many of those things are we struggling with? How many more do I have that I have to realize there's something happened somewhere that I have to realize and defeat it out of my life and die to that and choose God to fill that part that Satan had in? Because many years since, when I made that choice that I'm going to be different than my dad, I'm going to work hard, and there's no one that's going to beat me on financially, that no friend around me that's going to have more than I have. I'm in this warfare, and I will give my life to be rich and to be the man in town. That pride, that just that thought. Now, making money is nothing wrong with. Praise God that He provides financially and that there's business people that are tremendously blessed, or anyone else. But to me, there was a wrong drive and there was this pride. And I've been struggling for many years in my life. I've been just mistreating myself personally, my family, not spending time with them, understanding their needs, mistreating customers around me, or things like that. That was all because there was this drive inside that I was driven with. And Jesus came to heal that. And the more we're healed from all these things that we might not even recognize but at this point, but hey, let God open and reveal that to us, whatever that is, that we can truly stand up. And as at the end of John, I'm just going to go there right now. John 21, Jesus was asking Peter a specific question. Jesus was asking Peter, hey, Peter, do you love me? In verse 15, he says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? You know what he said? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. But why did Jesus ask that again? Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you, he said to him. Then Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. I think why Jesus was asking it three times was because Peter did not truly understand from the start what it means to love Jesus, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And I think finally Peter understood more. Hey, if I love Jesus, and Jesus was ready to go to leave this world, go to heaven, he wanted somebody here to really stand up and to be there to build his kingdom, to be willing to give sacrificially, to give his life, even if it meant to bleed, even if it meant torture, whatever it is. When I think of where we're at today in this world, more than ever, we need to know that we stand up and be willing to give ourselves wherever the Lord leads, whatever He wants us. What will happen when we are going to be persecuted? When we are going to be tortured, maybe? I don't know what's happening. I don't mean to bring any fear, but I think we need to realize we've seen in the past a lot of these things. We know that Peter was thrown in prison. We know that Paul and Silas, as one of the songs touched on, how they were in prison in chains. But the strength and the power that went with them as they chose to accept Christ, that gives me strength. That gives me hope when the day will come. If there's anything like that happening to me in my life, that if I will keep on holding on to Jesus, He will give me victory. I don't need to live in fear, but I think we need to pursue the Lord and pray and walk a close life with Him, because this world wants to take us away from that. That's my desire for all of us, that the church of Christ will shine brightly. We see too much of that the church is getting lukewarm in different ways. Let us, I'm just going to ask the family to come up and sing another song. We have a song here that's called Walk in the Light that you have, which we're going to sing for the last song. And that's my desire, that the light that Christ has given us, that we will just shine for. Be faithful to that, because the Word of God, the operator's manual, the instruction manual is powerful. If we buy a piece of equipment, something new, I tend to quickly try to do it without the instructions, but very often I fail and see, oh, I should have looked to prevent issues. Now, how do we do with this in our life? If there's a manual actually for all our life, all eternity, I just want to pursue more on that, understand more. And I would encourage all of you, hey, keep teaching the young minds as they are fresh to learn and memorize. Learn scripture. I didn't have a lot of that. I had German school. I learned some verses, but I'm thankful for what I have. I see the need of more. Okay, one more song.
I've walked in the shadows that the moonlight made. I pray that times that light would shine my way.
Sometimes God sent a beacon, sometimes I heard him say, just walk
in the light that you have. The smallest candlelight can be the darkest night, oh, and leave a glow to follow on life's path.
So just walk
in the light that you have.
I can't see tomorrow, but I can see today.
One step at a time, I can find my way. So if you're on
God, we're here again this morning because of your goodness. Lord, thank you that you are here to provide and that you're here to help us to discern what is from you or what is from Satan. Thank you for the instruction manual that you have left us with. So much wisdom, so much truth. Lord, you are truth. Help us to believe truth and not to believe any lies. God, give us that discernment. I pray for this church to bless them for all the work they do around the world and here locally and wherever, God, you lead them. Thank you for the blessing. God, protect them. I pray for all the young families, the children, Lord, to just be with them, God. Give the young fathers wisdom and strength to stand up, to be that leader in the home, to be patient, to be kind, to be loving, to stand up for it, well, what it takes. God, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to Pastor Dave. We do have some product back there if anyone is interested. We have a new CD actually just came out. This is our second church I think, where we have it. So that's available back there. Some of the songs we sang is from that, and there's more of Gospel Express products. So thank you again for praying for Gospel Express and for us as a family. God bless you.